Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the KSL.com Game Center podcast. It is Thursday, November 9th, and we are joined by Ryan Miller tonight from the road, I believe.
Yes, I'm chilling in Indianapolis, about to head to Memphis.
Very, very nice. Talking a little Jazz today. There's been quite a bit going on with the team, despite some less than stellar results, maybe, that the team is on a four-game losing streak, 2-7 on the season. What's just kind of like the vibe around this team right now with the kind of a really unfortunate start to the season?
Well, I think the vibe was probably different after Chicago than after Indiana. The fact is, the Jazz decided to go to the future. the Keontae George move against the Pacers wasn't just like try to find a band-aid to say that. We gave a tenth of the season to Talen Horton-Tucker to see if he had what we thought he may have at the end of last season. He doesn't. And you know what? Keontae George, every time he's been in the game, has been effective. The offenses look better. We're just rolling with him. Like if you would have talked to any of the Jazz front office, the Jazz coaches heading into the season, you would kind of hear the same thing. Like, this guy is the future. We just don't know when that will be. Turns out 9 games in, the future's here. We're ready to roll. And I think that alone just kind of gives a more excitement level to the team because, yeah, before you could almost like look at it, be like, what is the long-term plan here? Like, yeah, do I think Talen Horton-Tucker is the long-term solution? No, I don't think anyone really did, but you have to look at it. He's 22 years old, as big, as like great size. If he is going to be a point guard, can get downhill. Like, there are things you liked, and then you looked at all the things you didn't like, which was, you know, the aimless drives to the hoop and not really great at passing out. And the offense just seemed to just go dead whenever he was in the game. Like, I don't think that was his fault. I think it was just like, yeah, you know, not a great situation for him as a player. And so you didn't really see this long-term plan. And I think now moving Keontae George in, it's pretty obvious. Him and Lauri Markkanen had already developed a pretty good two-man game with like in a small amount of time they've shared the court. So yeah, I think there's a little bit more excitement and buzz around the team now, because they, like, even the players can see, like, okay, there is an end game here. This is where we're going. Yes, the Jazz fully expect Keontae George to have a lot of growing pains. They expect some rough moments, and like, from what I've heard, what I heard yesterday, they're gonna let him play through them, and this is kind of his offense now.
Gotcha. And then to add to that excitement, we've got the in-season tournament starting for the Jazz tomorrow, and then going into next week as well. But before we get too much into that, in addition to Keontae starting last night, the Jazz also unfortunately lost Walker Kessler officially for at least a couple weeks. And it's been an interesting start to the season for Walker, and I can't help but think that maybe this injury was kind of playing into what was kind of a lackluster start for him as well to the season. What was kind of going on with Walker Kessler?
Yeah, I think you can make that case now. Like, we asked Will Hardy, almost a Quinn Snyder somehow. we asked Will Hardy that yesterday, and he said, he's like, you know, Walker's never going to make an excuse for himself, but, you know, it stands to reason it probably did play a part. Like, I'm looking back, the injury looks like it happened in just the opening minutes of that first game. If what I'm looking at is truly where the injury is, I should say. If I had a sprained elbow, I don't think I would be as effective as at playing basketball. So I think you can probably make that case. Now, there's some things like his timing has been a little off, that I don't know if that necessarily plays into it, but like, yeah, you get, like, I think Walker Kessler, after what he did last season, deserves the benefit of the doubt here. I think the one interesting thing with that injury is what they chose to do instead of like going another big like a Kelly Olynyk, and they went with Ochai Agbaji into the starting lineup. And honestly, it raised some questions, like, okay, can John Collins and Walker Kessler actually share the court? Because if you look at John Collins, like, in Atlanta, every one of his, like, oh my gosh, this guy is a stud years, he didn't necessarily have like a traditional big with him. And you saw that in those opening minutes immediately. Like, he was so much freer. His rim rolls were like just so much more aggressive. He had room to operate and he was really good. I wrote in the preseason, I'm like, you know, for this to work, Walker Kessler is going to be able to have to stretch the floor to be truly effective. And I think that's the case, but I don't know if Walker Kessler could ever really become that 3-point threat per se that you can open that up. And honestly, like, Walker Kessler's best role in offense also is a rolling big man. So it's like, you got two skills that are kind of on top of each other right there. And so I don't know. The Jazz will probably work something out. Best player should play, I think, but they're obviously, we're one game into this whole new Jazz look, but it looked like John Collins was so much more comfortable playing the five than he ever had playing the four while on this team. So it's something to look at when Walker Kessler does come back in a couple weeks, or at least a couple weeks. It's when he'll be reevaluated. So might be a couple weeks after that too. So who knows? But it'll be interesting to see if they like stagger those, because that's what they were doing with Kelly Olynyk and Walker Kessler in the first eight games, is they were staggering their minutes essentially. Like, and I think you almost, Kelly is someone that can play pretty much with anyone at any time. And so I almost think you just start staggering him and Collins, and or him meaning Kessler and Collins, and seeing if that works out a little better. But obviously they're going to have to share the court at some point. But I think they would probably want to limit that at based off what we saw yesterday. I think they should probably limit that. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It's interesting because, like, as beat writers, we follow this team so closely that, like, after the Chicago loss, you would see it's like this, it's the same things that are just they were getting killed, like turnovers. They can't attend point. They can't defend that point of attack, and it just like you just go into a free fall pretty quick. Now, were those things all there against Indiana? Yes. Holy crap! This team is the leader of turnovers. The good thing, you look at Keontae George and be like, he only committed one of those, so he isn't the problem there. That should him getting more minutes should actually help that. Point of attack defense, they've got a lot of work there. But I think if you're looking at it as a fan, you can kind of see there is this plan to go forward and to have this team that could potentially still be competitive this season. But it's obviously been a rough schedule. A lot of road games. I don't know if this Jazz team, especially with how their defense is, it's like ranked number 27th of the league, will win a lot of road games. But like they do every year, they'll probably find a way to win 30 to 35 home games and be in semi-play-in contention towards the end.
There you go. And you mentioned a bit of a new look for the Jazz, not only in players, but we've got the in-season tournament starting now.
Win!
There's some new looks on the court with the colors of the court. The Jazz are going to be playing on a purple court next Tuesday. What are your thoughts on the purple court?
Okay, here's my takes on the courts. I'm all for goofy fun, right? It's fun. Sports are supposed to be entertaining. I'm all for entertaining. My problem is when, like, they didn't think this through a little bit about, like, the jerseys to the court combos. Like, I last week watching Milwaukee, like, theirs was more of like, I guess you can say a traditional court color. It was just painted weird. But like, they still had the big green stripe. It looked cool. And they had the green jerseys that were on like the more traditional court color. So we didn't really notice that big of a deal. It was just like, oh, this is kind of goofy and fun, whatever. And then like, we went to that Denver game and it was like blue on blue. And it was like whatever, my eyes adjusted after like 4 or 5 minutes, but that thing was rough at the beginning. And I think the Jazz, you'll find that a little bit too, that purple on purple. It'd be like I know fans have been wanting purple is back type thing, but like that's a little too much for my liking. So we'll see. Like I think again it's one of those things, your eyes adjust, but it's a trip at the first, like those first few minutes of these games, I think are going to be pretty like headache inducing. just like getting me a little dizzy. I actually, you know, good podcasting. I'm actually trying to find Memphis's. I don't even know what theirs would look
yeah,
like.
I did look it up, and it's just gray. So
okay, see, gray. Yeah. That's, well, it depends. Like, are they wearing gray?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the uniform is, but the court looks a little more basic, which is nice.
Well, it depends. Like, if they're wearing gray City Edition, which they probably will, because well, I'm looking up. They're black, so they should be fine. Yeah. Like black, like, so like that, like 100%. Like, you just need a little bit of contrast. I'm not like saying like white and whatever purple. It's just need a little bit more contrast. Like that Denver, that blue to blue was just, oh man. And I don't know, I think like we walked like my first taste of like in person City Edition court was in Chicago. They had like a section kind of laid out, and I'm like, it's just so much red. Like, I think it's just a little too much. I love the idea of like, we are going to make it obvious that this is a different game, that this is more important than a regular season game. I do like that idea that you can obviously see it. I think they probably just went a little too bold, which is, you know, it's fine. It's the first try at it. I think it'll probably get cleaned up next year. But like, I don't know. You, I'm sure you watched Friday. Did you think were you more interested in last Friday's in season games, or was it just mad to you?
Oh, interesting. I think the courts definitely brought in some intrigue, because you're like, I just need to see what this looks like on my eyes. And it wasn't, I'll admit, it wasn't as bad as I thought. And in some instances, it's almost, I don't want to say easier to watch, but it pops, right? Like, it's almost easier to see where the players are because of if there is contrast between the jersey and the court, the players kind of pop a little bit more. But it's been interesting to hear. There is an excitement around this tournament with the players, but I can't tell how organic it is. Like, it almost feels like they're kind of telling the players, like, especially Steph Curry had a moment where he was running out of the tunnel and he was like, in season tournament time. And I was like, did they just like tell him to say that?
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of some of it's obviously that. Like Will Hardy shoot around in, I don't know, Chicago. I don't know where I am anymore. But he heard me and Sarah Todd from the Deseret News talking to Walker Kessler about it, and he just comes up and he's like, "I want it on record, Commissioner Silver. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the NBA since the invention of the peach pit." Like, just obviously very sarcasm, but it's like, I understand. I think there is some like, I think the players, the coaches, the teams, they've heard all the jokes of like, what are we doing here? That said, I think it's fun. Like again, you look at the Jazz, like they're 2-7, right? Like, it's like, this has been kind of a drag of a regular season already. Now it's like, you get to Friday, it's like, well, you get this thing you can play for. That's pretty fun. And like, I was a pretty big skeptic up until the groups got announced. And for some reason, like, seeing it actually, like, on paper, being like, okay. Like, it felt like almost like the World Cup draw, right? You're like, okay, well, how are things working? Like, and so there was a more... I think it's going to be fun. And like, you look at Friday's games, they're all crazy competitive. So, and like, the fact is, 500 grand is 500 grand. And I've seen players go like insane competitive wise for a $5 free throw competition. So, one, you get the competitive nature of it. You put something on the line, a trophy, anything. These guys are the biggest competitors in the world. They're going to care a little bit more. And $500,000 is nothing to sneeze at. So, like, I believe the Nuggets got less money for winning the finals as bonuses than they will than the in-season tournament champion will get. So it's like, that's legit. And like, yes, like, these guys are all multimillionaires, obviously, but like, again, $500,000 is still $500,000. So it's like, I think you showed on last weekend on the first few games that this is something teams will go after, and especially the teams like that may have not had the start of the season that they wanted. Now there's like a kind of a reset thing where it's like, okay, we're 0-0 again on this thing, and let's go win this. And I'll see if it's fun. We'll see if it lasts. But I wish that there would be a more team oriented I think the one issue with it is I wish there was a team oriented goal. And I think that's what will make fans buy in a little bit more. Cause I don't think the players have any problem buying in. Like, single elimination, once it gets to the knockout stages, like all of these things equal, like when you get competitive people, they will compete hard for this. I think fan buy-in might be hard just cause it's like, what's in this for us? Like, are we going to raise an in-season tournament banner? Probably, but who cares type thing. I wish there was just like, you earn something like a playoff spot or an automatic play-in spot or something should be like there for the fans to truly buy in. But again, it's the first iteration of this. I'm sure it'll be, I think they'll figure stuff out along the way that will make it more organically cared about. But yeah, I don't know, I think it's fun. Like, I'll be honest, like, I'm more excited about this game and going and watching it than I have the last three on this road trip, or even the previous eight of the season or nine of the season. So it's like, I don't know, I think it'll be fun, especially how the schedule kind of broke out with the Jazz, with they're more or less playing their in-season tournament back to back to back to back. I think like their next three are all in-season tournament games, and they go one break, and then the last one. So,
yeah,
like, it's kind of like in-season tournament time. And I think that's fun. Or maybe it would be better if it was split up. I don't know. Again, we'll see. Like, we were actually talking, like, would it be fun just to do these, like, say, the NBA Cup, four of these NBA Cups, and all four, like, if you win, each champion of the four gets a playoff spot, and that's how you determine the playoffs.
Ooh.
I think that would be fun. And then, like, whatever, the top four other records also get in, so the season means something. But I don't know. I think that kind of stuff is fun, and it's intriguing because, like, say that's on the line and one starts in March. Your season's never done. You're always got hope that this season, like, we can still make the playoffs. We still got a chance. I think that's the biggest thing the NBA needs to fix, is just to feel that there's something worth watching every night, or at least to stay interested throughout the whole thing for a lot of fan bases. So I think that's like almost to that point, I think the in-season tournament might be too early, because it's like, yeah, like even if you're 2-7, like the Jazz, I think their fans are still caring. So like, do we need it right now? I think it might be better if it's like middle of December to January type thing. Maybe have the championship like an all-star break or whatnot. I don't know. They'll figure it out. But I think it's a fun idea. I was a skeptic. I'm now kind of bought in because, like, whatever. Sports are supposed to be fun, entertaining. And it's like, I think this will be fun and entertaining, if not a little silly, goofy, and unnecessary.
Exactly. So like you mentioned, the Jazz next three games in a row are all part of this in-season tournament, and then four out of the next five, including three games on national TV, two against the Suns, one on ESPN, one on NBA TV, and then against the Lakers in LA on TNT like a week and a half from now. So it's a really interesting stretch for the Jazz. Like you mentioned, hopefully it can kind of be an opportunity to say, all right, we're just going to start over 0-0. And especially tomorrow night's game, you mentioned like the competitiveness of it. Like they're playing the Grizzlies tomorrow, and these two teams have combined for three wins so far this season. So like they're just fighting for wins at this point.
And that's another thing with the in-season tournament. I think like when the like groups got announced, like you almost saw the Jazz one as like, oh, you would like. I know it was like half-hearted, like group of death, whatever, but it did look pretty tough. You had like Dame Lillard, Ja Morant, like the Lakers, the Suns, like it looked stacked. And it's like, so the Jazz looked like they were definitely number five of that group. And now it's like, well, Memphis is trash. Ja Morant's not going to play in any of these games. Like Portland obviously, you know, blew it all up. And so it's like, okay. This doesn't look that bad. You still a game from Phoenix or LA. Like, you can dream a little bit, and like, I think that's fun. Like, you can dream about going to Vegas, winning this cup, and also like, why? Like, I think one of the worst things is calling it the in-season tournament. The NBA Cup sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like what? Like in-season tournaments. Like what? Like I think it's mostly just like an explainer. It's like, this is what's happening, because no one knows what the NBA Cup would mean at this point. But I think I would assume that that will like transition into, does Colin get the NBA Cup in years late future? But we'll see. I don't know. But I'm excited for it. I think it'll be stupid. It's dumb. The courts are silly. Most of the uniforms are trash. But the games could be competitive, and it gives something to look at. I don't know. It's like sure. I just wish it was in January. That's really my thing, because January as an NBA beat writer is always the hardest month to cover, because it's like, what are we doing? We are so, like, yeah, 3 months into the season, 3 months to go. It's tough. And so I wish it was just a little later in the season, but regardless, it's fun. The players don't, like, I don't know, they just joke about what they'll do with the winnings mostly than anything when you ask them about it. But like, but I think it will, when that tip goes up, I think there, people are going to care quite a bit, because again, a trophy is on the line and people like trophies. So hey, go win a trophy.
You the song, trophies. Yeah. NBA Cup on the line, Jazz taking on the Grizzlies on the road tomorrow, and then back here in Utah, take on the Trailblazers on that purple court. So appreciate you coming on, Ryan, and we'll see how our eyes handle these next few weeks with all the colors we're trying to take in.
It sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Okay, see ya.